pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice and the life that grace, we are saved. We are saved.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins.
The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice and the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed.
By his wounds, by his wounds. What can wash my sins away? But nothing but the blood of Jesus. Love the Lord, just praise his holy name. So grateful that he's allowed us to gather together this morning. And love seeing each and every one of you. For those of you online, I know there's some that are recovering from surgery. Praise God for his mighty touch and his protection. For those that are going through therapy situations, and all those that aren't able to be with us this weekend, it's a busy week. I know we were hearing, we've got family that's traveling to Virginia. I guess they're leaving in the morning. And so many, they'll be on the road this week. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. If you would, keep each and every situation in our prayers. If you would, stand if you can, just in respect for the Lord this morning. And we're just going to just lift God up and just ask him. If you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. Yes. Oh, yes. God sees and knows each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. Lord, we just praise your holy name. We thank you, dear Lord, for your mercy, your grace, and your love, dear Lord. You continuously have shown us, dear Lord, the many lights that you've provided for us in this life that you've given us. Dear Lord, as we go through this daily walk, dear Lord, may we put you first in everything that we do. Lord, may we praise you, dear Lord, for each and everything. Lord, we are blessed, so blessed, dear Lord. Now as we gather together and we open up our service to the Lord, we ask for you to just come upon us this morning, dear Lord, as your Holy Spirit, you just walk amongst us, dear Lord, as we lift you up and honor you, dear Lord. We ask now that you'll accept every song sung, every instrument played, every hand that's raised to worship and praise you. Lord, it's not for man, it's for you. And dear Lord, now you've seen the hands that were raised in acknowledgement of need of prayer request. Dear Lord, you know the depths of our hearts. Lord, we ask you to forgive us, dear Lord. Strengthen and guide us, dear Lord. We know that you're healing, dear Lord. We know that you're greater than cancer. You're greater than heart issues. You're greater than COVID, dear Lord. And we're just placing all of our hope, our faith, and our life in your mighty hands. Lord, we thank you for those testimonies of praise. Lord, for those situations that you've taken care of, dear Lord, and those things that you're doing now and are doing. Lord, by faith, dear Lord, we're placing it all in your hands. Lord, we ask you to bless our pastor, strengthen our service this morning. Bless him and his family, dear Lord. Just have your way, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, and we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. Praise God. While you're standing, turn to page 52. Sorry, Mo's eyes still get there. I know God's healing. Jesus, hold my hand. thank you for all that you do, dear Lord. Just praise your holy name. Lord, take control, dear Lord. We just love you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all sound like y'all ready for church this morning. Praise God, praise God. You may be seated if you can. Turn around and tell somebody how much Jesus loves them. Praise God. And this talk about being thankful, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, this Thanksgiving season. I'm thankful, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. I don't have any announcements up here this morning. Do we have any that need to be brought forward?
We have a puppet practice at 5. Puppet practice at 5.
5 o'clock? All right.
And after Thanksgiving, we'll be doing practice for all the speaking parts for the play.
Absolutely. Wonderful time of year, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Lord, just touch all the ministries. We've got the morning offering. Brother Eddie, if you would, turn it over to you now.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Good morning, everybody. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Amen. Yes, he is. Amen.
There you go.
Well, you can't praise the Lord too much. This year, we have the opportunity to again help some folks in the Appalachian area, the children of the schools up there. They have become a little bit dependent on people helping them for winter clothing and certain situations and needs. And the church has stepped up, and we have a lot of donations, but we've got an opportunity to buy about 500 pieces of clothing here for the children, especially the girls that go to school, the leggings and things that's going to help them in their wintertime. So I would like to ask this morning that this morning's offering go to that need, help supplying that need. Is that all right with everybody?
Amen.
Just say amen.
Amen.
All right. I appreciate you. Such a giving church. So we'll take that love offering up this morning, and we will donate that to the Appalachian trip. May God bless you. All right, brother, if you'd ask the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
There I was on death row, guilty in the first degree, Son of God hanging on a hill. Hell was my destiny. The crowd was shouting, crucify. Could have come from these lips of dirty shame was killing me. It would take a miracle to wash me clean.
Then I read red letters, and the ground began to shake. The prison walls falling, and I became a free man that day.
Felt like lightning hit my veins. My dead heart began to beat. The breath of God filled my lungs, and the Holy
sing this next song. I know we sing it a lot, but it has a lot of meaningful words in it. But I did want to share one thing that I read this week, and I'm still in it. I hope they don't get upset with me, but it's Amanda Crabb Ministries. I know all of y'all pray, but sometimes I just find myself just praying every little thing, you know, every time, the same thing every time. And she put on here, this is so good, the enemy isn't scared of you praying scattered prayers with no authority behind them. Get some targeted prayers and don't stop praying until you see it happen.
Amen.
And that's what I want to do instead of just, I'm not saying don't pray about everything, but put some oomph behind it and keep praying about that certain thing. And I know Eddie's been praying a lot, and I have too, about Kevin's situation. And, you know, we had that, I'm going to be short. He had a port put in because of this blood condition that he has so that they could draw blood off all the time. You know, we're supposed to have it every 2 weeks. He's supposed to get some blood drawn off. But anyway, that really didn't work out real good. So his doctor put him on a chemo pill that's supposed to help bring his platelets down and his red blood cells down. Well, the first month he took it, you know, it brought the platelets down some, but not the red blood cells. So I know I've been praying a lot since that first month. And we went back to the doctor Thursday, and his platelet count is way down, and the red blood cells is way down. So I thank God, because I know the medicine's what did it, but without God. So I just thank him for everything he's doing.
I want to testify too before we sing the song, but I told Brother Eddie I wasn't going to steal Chris's testimony, but when God's done something great, why hold it in? Amen. Tell it. And I know Chris said if it took him a million times coming to this altar to get his healing, that's what he was going to do. And the night he came forward, y'all have no idea how sick he was that night when I called him from back there. But when Brother Eddie put the Bible on his stomach and prayed over his stomach, when we went to see the surgeon this week, he said, when I did the surgery, the bowels that was protruding out were no longer protruding. God did it. Right here, he did it. And he was able to eat. And I can tell his appetite's coming back. He wanted to come to church today, but I told him no, because he's basically just stitched up and he's got to take it real easy for a good while. So I'm trying to keep close reins on him. But he did want to come today. He said, I won't teach Sunday school. Can I just go to church? I said, but then what if you start feeling bad? You need to lay down. We don't have a place to put you down. So just stay home. But I'm thankful. God is good. Amen.
Forgiven, you came to set me free.
what your mercy did for me. Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me your real love. Thank you, Jesus, you washed my sins away, and now I'm living, I got forgiven. You came to set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. That's what your mercy did for me. That's what your mercy did for me. Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me your real love. I thank you, Jesus, you washed my sins away, and now I'm living, I got forgiven, you came to set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. That's what your mercy did for me. What your mercy did for me.
We're glory. Thank God for mercy. That's what his mercy has done for each and every one of us. Amen.
Amen.
So thankful for the mercy and grace of our Lord and Savior. Thankful that you come out this morning. Just wish each and every one of you a blessed day. Before we get into this morning's message, I just want to share just a couple of announcements with you if I could. This Wednesday night, being Thanksgiving Eve, we will have our communion service here at First Pentecostal Church. So come and be a part of that. The classes downstairs will be as normal, but up here we will be having a communion service. And also tonight, I would like for five people, about five, to be thinking about a testimony of Thanksgiving, whether it be a specific need or just general terms, or just you just want to thank the Lord, and then come to me after church and let me know that you want to give a 3 to 5 minute testimony tonight with a microphone. Because so many people, if you give a testimony and the microphone's not there, everybody on the live stream said, what happened to the sound? So we'll give you a microphone and give you an opportunity to testify. So be thinking about that. And if, you know, five people don't show up, I may just call on five people tonight, so you need to be prepared. Amen. God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Let everybody know how welcome they are this morning. Well, let's just get right into the message this morning. Amen. I am thankful. I am very, very thankful. Not just because of this season. Amen. But I'm thankful every day. The Lord's blessing, his goodness, and his mercy. I'm so undeserving, I think, is the reason I'm so thankful. He did it because he loves me. Amen. Not because I earned it, not because I was good enough, not because of my name or anything. He did it because I was undeserving and I needed the blood of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, go with us this morning to the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 31. We're going to actually be reading a text in the middle of a very important account, but we're going to step back and bring us up to date on what is actually going on during the writing of these particular verses. Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse number 31, we'll read 32 and 33 as well. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Let me read that again. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your grace, for your mercy, for the opportunity and the desire that you've given us to gather here this morning. Father, I pray, God, that you would just reach out with your mighty hand and touch and anoint every need here in this congregation. Father, I ask you humbly, God, to anoint these lips of clay this morning. God, use this vessel, Lord, to speak, God, that you would have us to hear. I pray, God, that you would be lifted up this morning in every word spoken, every song that's sung. Let it be for your honor and for your glory. And Father, I ask humbly now, God, that you just bless us and anoint us with your Holy Spirit. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you love the Lord, give him a hand clap of praise this morning. And you may be seated. This morning, I want to share a message with you entitled, The Body of Believers. Body of Believers. How many know that's a powerful body? How many agree that a lot of things have been done by the prayers, the faith of the body of believers? We know that all power comes from God. We know that healing comes from him. Doors are open because of him. But he, in fact, needs a conduit, if you would. And I believe the body of Christ is that conduit, is that go-between where he blesses and anoints the congregation so that they can reach out to others. It's always been that way ever since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Webster tells us that a believer is a follower and a disciple of specific religious beliefs. The believers that I'm referring to this morning are the souls who are born again, practicing the teachings of Jesus Christ, and adhering to the belief that he is Lord and Savior. Let me read that again. The believers that I am referring to today are the souls who are born again, practicing the teachings of Jesus Christ, and adhering to the belief that he is Lord and Savior. Do I have any believers in the house this morning? Hallelujah. Are you glad to be a believer? Are you thankful that you are born again, a part of the body of Christ? So as I speak this morning, this is the group that I'm speaking to, of which I am so thankful to be a part of the body of Christ. If, in fact, you think those seated here today under this roof are the only part of the body of Christ, you're sadly mistaken. There's a much bigger church. There's a much bigger fellowship. There's a much bigger group of believers, amen, I believe today, that is active and praying and fasting for a mighty move of God. I want to be a part of that. The events that I am describing today are on the heels of the healing of the lame man. Just so that we're in one mind and one accord, is there any believers in the house who have ever witnessed a healing? All right. Is there any believers in the house who have ever been the recipient of a healing? Hallelujah. Then you're going to know exactly where we're coming from this morning. The songs and the word and the scripture tells us that Peter and John were going to the temple to pray. Upon entering into the gates of the temple, there sat a lame man doing what the lame did, begging, asking for alms. Remember the story. Peter and John looked upon him. They looked at him. They said, you know, we don't have any silver and gold. We got something better. That's not exactly what he said. He said, such as I have. Amen. If you are a believer this morning, you don't really need silver and gold. Amen. Such as you have will supply every need that you're ever going to have. Hallelujah. You don't have to have a great name. You don't have to have a great responsibility. But such as you have, that relationship with Jesus Christ, how many believers believe today that that is the single most important thing that we can have in this walk of life? Hallelujah. Such as I have, give I unto thee. And he raised him up and he began to shout and glorify God and went into the temple. Well, let me tell you, political correctness has been around for a long time. It didn't set well with certain leaders. Sadducees and Pharisees didn't like that. You just don't need to be teaching and preaching and testifying in the name of Jesus. So they laid hands on him, not biblically, They apprehended them and brought them before the magistrates, and they began to scold them and kept them overnight, questioning them. And, you know, first of all, they recognized that Peter and John were not scholars. How many is thankful you don't have to be a scholar to be a believer? They recognized that they were not theologians. They were not well-versed in all of the Scripture. They perceived them to be unlearned. How many knows that's all right? The believers, amen, that I know, glory to God, depend on the power of God, amen, not on ourselves, not on our intellect, not on our ability, not on our talent, but in the mighty hand of God. Are there believers today that are depending on the mighty hand of God? So Peter and John, they begin to tell them, it wasn't by us. We can't do anything without the power of the Lord. But it was by that same Jesus whom you crucified, and he is arisen. How many believers know today you won't find him in the tomb? Come on, believers. I know the Bible talks about they placed him in the tomb, but read the rest of it. After 3 days, he came out. Glory to God. He's alive and well today. He's right here in this congregation this morning. If you are a believer, a true believer, you have him inside your heart to be with you each and every day. What a wonderful benefit that is. And being a believer. So they scolded them. They gave them direction and instruction as they left. So we're not going to hold you. We're not going to bring any crime against you. But we admonish you that you go back out and you avoid teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus. If I was told today to avoid preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, I wouldn't have anything to say. Because it's all about Jesus. I said it's all about him. Glory to God. He's the one who bled and died on the cross of Calvary. He is the one who carried that cross up there that was stained with my sins, not his. Amen. I don't have anything else to talk about except Jesus Christ and the ability to give us eternal life. Glory to God. If you're happy here, where do you get over yonder? Where do you get that glorified body that Jesus Christ himself has prepared for us? And you would think that Peter and John, having just been apprehended and scolded by those who were in charge, would probably be pretty quiet about preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, you don't know Peter and John very well. Because Peter and John had an experience. I believe a true believer has had an experience. Pull your toes in. I don't want to offend you. That's not my intent. But a believer is more than just a church goer. Although a believer will go to church. A believer is more than just a tithe payer. Although a believer will probably pay his tithes as well and give unto the Lord and give unto the needy. That's just that the attributes of a believer. But if you think you can pay your way into heaven, you're sadly mistaken. First of all, the price has already been paid. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that glorious? We were eating dinner one night, and it was good. In fact, I don't believe I've ever met a dinner I didn't like. And especially this one. When we got done, we waited on our ticket. We waited, and we waited, and it never came. So finally we ask, would you please bring our ticket? Oh, it's already been paid. Woo. You should have seen the smile on my wife's face. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That was a wonderful dinner. But it had already been paid. Amen. Let me tell you something, Christians. When you realize truly that your sin debt has already been paid, there is nothing you can do, amen, that can change the fact God himself, hallelujah, has allowed his son Jesus to die on the cross to pay our sin debt. Oh, hallelujah. Paid in full by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No, I wouldn't have anything else to preach if I was told I couldn't preach Jesus. But Peter and John went on their merry way. And the Bible says this way, they went to their own company. Thought about that. Where do you go when you need a kind word? Where do you go when you need comfort? You know you go to Jesus, certainly. But as a true body of believers, I believe that we can depend on one another. When I got a problem, I like to take it to my company. You know what my company is? Those of you that are seated here today. Amen. Where did they go? They went to church. Glory to God. You got a problem? Go to church. Amen. You got a burden? Take it to church. Take it to those who will pray with you. Take it to those who will believe with you. Take it to those who will stand by you. So they went to their own company. And you know what? They continued to preach and teach in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so much so that the Bible tells us around 5,000 became believers.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
If you look around today, we got room for a few more, but I don't know if we could pack 5,000 in here. So that tells me that they went outside the church building and they began to make believers out of people they come in contact with. If you're waiting on the people, the potential believers, to crack those doors and come in, you're limiting your focus. But if you'll take what the Lord has done for you and you'll take it outside those doors and you'll take it to work with you and you'll take it to school with you and you'll take it where you shop and you take it to your neighbors, you can see the mighty move of God. And it's not because of us. It's all because of Him. Because He will bless the efforts of believers. So some 5,000 became believers. What is a believer? The believers that I'm referring to are the souls who are born again, practicing the teachings of Jesus Christ, and adhering to the belief that He is Lord and Savior. Finally, they begin to pray for a mighty move of God. There's a lot of things this week that have crowded my mind. Not really crowded, but just been in my mind about the goodness of God. And the many prayers that He has answered. And the very fact that I am so thankful and humbled by the fact that I'm even allowed to be a part of the body of believers. Hallelujah. Because I know that that's all about grace and mercy. It's all about grace and mercy. And I'm thankful for that. And I began to think, God, what an honor, what a privilege it is to have had somebody, first of all, witness to me. Let me know the truth. Come on, you know what? There's a lot of believers today who are not believing the truth. Because Webster defined a believer as anyone, basically, or as a follower and a disciple of specific religious beliefs. Religious belief is not just found in the body of born-again believers. There's religious fanatics today. There's religious beliefs today that are not sanctified by the Word of God, not ordained by Jesus Christ, but a lot of people are following them because it's popular, because it allows them the liberty and freedom to do and live however they want to. As a born-again believer, I have a guideline. It's called the Word of God. Hallelujah. Written by the voice of God, moved on by ordained men of God. Amen. Who wrote what God laid upon their hearts. That's a guideline that I go by. The true believers are going to search the guideline. They're going to search the Word of God and adhere to the practices and the principles of Almighty God. But just believing a certain religious affiliation does not make you a part of the born-again believers. I believe there is a transformation that takes place. I believe there's a born-again experience. I believe there comes an infilling. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. Let me tell you something. If you pray for repentance and you pray, God, empty up all that, you better have something to go in on top of it. Amen? Because if you leave an empty vessel, first thing you do, you're going to get filled up with the cares of the world today. But let me tell you something. I want the Holy Ghost to pour in me and keep pouring in me till it roots out all the things that are carnal, all the things that are of the world, and I got no other room except to be full of the power of God. So as Peter and John and the other apostles were praying with their church, the church began to pray that God would use them mightily, that they would both witness to Jews and Gentiles and to each and every one that they came in contact with. So Peter and John began to evangelize, seeking converts into the body of believers. And they wrote some very specific things. I mean, knows God is specific. Man, he doesn't just deal with generalities. He deals with specific things. And somebody said the Ten Commandments were not 10 suggestions. Man, how many knows that we are supposed to believe and adhere and obey the Word of God? But there's things that happened here. It said the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. One heart. That is a spiritual heart. How many knows that the organ of the body, amen, in the pumping station is what allows the rest of the body to function as it should. Thus the saying, if his heart is not in it. That's where that came from. If his heart's not in it, the rest of the body's not going to be much. It's just dependent on that heart. But here the Bible, the Word says, they were of one heart. Meaning that that pumping station was the Holy Ghost of God. Amen? The mighty power of God itself. I don't believe that they went in there and they said, first thing we got to do is set up a bunch of rules and regulations. Amen? I adhere to the rules and the regulations of Almighty God. Amen? Because man cannot override what God has already intended. So they were of one heart, meaning they were focused together on one thing. I don't know if we've fully reached that yet. There's been times, you know, we talk about one mind and one accord. There's been times, amen, when you can almost feel it. It's like a thick cloud of the Holy Ghost settling over a congregation. You know how we get that? We tune out before we tune in. Come on. Instead of trying to find the station, you tune out everything else except, Lord, I'm just here to serve you. I'm just here to worship you. I'm not thinking about the crock pot that's cooking. I'm not thinking about the ball game that's coming on later. Not thinking about the boat that I got tied or hitched up to the truck and ready to go. Amen. All I'm thinking is about you, Lord, and about loving you and praising you and lifting you up, God. I want us to be in one mind and one heart and one accord. Amen. You'll begin to see things happening in the body of believers when we get together and we pray for the move of God. Not only were they in one heart, they were one soul. One soul. You know, there's a reason we call one another brothers and sisters. We're part of the family of God. How many is thankful for that? Come on, truly thankful. These are your brothers and sisters. These are the ones who will be in that spiritual foxhole with you. Come on, when you need somebody to lift you up, when you need somebody to help you, look for a brother and sister in Christ, one who knows and is affiliated with the power of God. And then we come in one heart and one soul, and the body of believers begins to gel and begins to pray for a mighty move of God. Another characteristic, they were humble. Man, We just said it a little while ago. It's not about us. It's all about Him. God can use humbleness. If we exalt ourselves, He will put us abase. But if we humble ourselves, He will exalt us. Not really us, but His Spirit through us. If we are truly believers, then we are looking, amen, for people to be a disciple too. Because as body of believers, true believers, we're also disciples. If we believe in the Word of God, if we believe in the experience of being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then we're looking, amen, to be people that we can be disciples to lead them into the body of Christ. How many knows the body of Christ got room for plenty more? Amen. We need believers today. Not prideful of material things. Listen what they did. They had all things common. There was a need, they addressed it. So much so that some even brought their possessions. Some even sold their land. Some brought them and put them at the feet of the apostles to delegate out as was necessary. That's a body of true believers, of body of Christ, taking care of one another. Oh, that that would happen in our world today. Oh, that that would happen. Amen. That we could be able to reach out to others and meet every need. And I believe that there's believers today, amen, who would do that. Another characteristic, they was willing to share. But I want to follow it up with the last two characteristics that the apostles here wrote. Said this body of believers had great power. Power by itself is very energetic. But when you add great power to it, amen. And who is great other than Almighty God? What they were saying, that the power of the body of believers is God-given power. Woo. Hallelujah. I don't know why, as a body of believers, we have to be reminded of that so often. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Amen. Not power to save, not power to store up, but power to use. Amen. And I'm a firm believer. And the more you use that power, the more God will supply that need. I believe today, if the body of believers would get truly in one mind and one accord, miracles would happen again. Loved ones would be saved again. Souls would be won to Christ. It's going to take a body of really true believers. And then he follows that up with great grace. Grace. There's not a person under the sound of my voice who's not the recipient of grace. His mercy and his grace is beyond my ability to even comprehend. Man, you know, we think about our lifestyle. We think about the lifestyle of so many others that God has forgiven, that God has wiped that slate clean. Well, I, for one, am very thankful for that. And I never, ever want to lose sight of that. I want to glorify and praise Him forever and ever. And as I begin to think about the body of believers today, the main thing that differentiates us from the body of believers prior to Jesus Christ was that grace and the infilling of the Spirit of God, the Comforter that Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless, but I'll go away and I'll send the Comforter in my name. Thank God for that Comforter. But I think about the patriarchs of old who did not have that Comforter inside them. That doesn't mean that God wasn't with them. And I even more excited and almost to the point of unbelievable believing how they were able to put forth faith and stand on faith without that infilling of the Spirit of the Comforter of Christ. But they did. They were a body of believers. I want to try my best to convey to the church that there is power that we have not tapped into yet. We're on the verge. We scratched the surface.
But I believe there's earth-shaking power that is on the very fingertips of the body of believers who's willing to put in the time and the effort to pray for a mighty move of God and quit putting our faith and confidence in everything around us and put it back in God where it belongs and get ready for a mighty move of God. We have not, because we ask not. Christ said, if you believe, you shall receive. Lord, I need you to heal me. You know what Jesus asked? Do you believe? Yes, Lord, I believe. He was healed. Hallelujah. That same hour, he was healed. If, in fact, there's a need in the house this morning, without raising your hand, do you truly believe that God is able, and not only able, but will do it? Amen. Lift up your hand. Hallelujah. A body of believers believing that God is going to make a way. Noah, amen, didn't have the Spirit of the Lord within him, but he was a believer. Why? Because he acted only upon the Word of God. Listen, we got the Spirit of the Lord within us. There ought to be great and mighty deeds that we can do today, or God can do through us, because of that that is within us. Hallelujah. Sister Penny testified about Kevin. Should we expect anything less? Oh, Brother Eddie, that's prideful. No, it's not. That's faithful. That's faith. That's different than prideful. I didn't say I could do it. I didn't say it was because of my prayers. I didn't say it was because of me. It's because of Almighty God. We should not expect anything less except healing, complete healing, complete deliverance. Hallelujah. When there seemeth no way, God can and will make a way. Hallelujah. A great ark was built because he believed. Before it rained, he believed. Couldn't get anybody outside his family to help him, but he believed. Hallelujah. God was with him. Hallelujah. Sometimes, if just one person get that mindset, we got to believe. We got to believe for a mighty move of God. We got to believe for healing again. You know, I keep saying that, and the Lord kind of revealed something to me this week. I really think we got that healing part down. We've seen it time and time again. God is a healer. I said, God is a healer. You raise your hands yourself, testifying the fact that he is a healer. And if we're true body of believers, when we pray, we believe that God is going to do what we ask. He's going to heal. In fact, we're already making plans to be better. Amen. Hallelujah. But some of these other things, I think we are a little slack in. Let me just throw this out. If you think God is a healer, could he also be a deliverer? Do we have as much faith to believe that God can deliver as we do to heal us? Then why are there so many of the body of Christ today that need deliverance? Need deliverance. Anxiety is at an all-time high. Stress, problems, issues, frustration, depression, aggravation. What other kind of Asians have we got out there? Amen. But soon as that body starts hurting, we're delivered because God can heal. Don't put limits on God. God can deliver you right now from whatever you're facing. If we believe and put our faith and trust in God, all of the frustration, all of the aggravation, all of the depression, all of the anxiety, lay it on the altar and pray and believe that God can deliver you. Hallelujah. Because when they prayed, the place was shaken. Had a funny thought. Maybe not funny, but maybe a dose of reality. If in fact we called for a prayer vigil, hypothetical, not a bad suggestion, by the way, and we all gathered, not a song, not a testimony, not a sermon, we prayed. And the pastor or whoever's leading it says, "We're going to pray until the place is shaken." And you bow your head. That'll be the day. And then somebody says, "Oh, Lord, we'll be here all night." God, if you could, some way, let there be an earthquake somewhere that would not hurt us bad, but just kind of shake the building. So the preacher will dismiss us and let us go home. And now for the final dose of reality. If, in fact, this body of believers were praying and this building began to shake, I guarantee you 50% of them would jump up and run out. I'm just saying. I'd probably open the door. But shaken, we think the building. But I'm thinking the body. I'm thinking that we get so caught up in prayer that we begin to have shackles come loose and fall off of us as we're shaken under the mighty power and the authority of an almighty God. And all those worries and all those things begin to fall off of us, and we begin to lift our hands and lift our voice, delivered from all the weight and all the things that God that the world has placed upon us till we're shaken. Hallelujah. Till there's nothing else on our mind, nothing else on our heart, but move, God, your way, not my way. Let it be done. Then we could declare ourselves as a body of believers. If in fact only a portion of the body are believers, very difficult to really reach that threshold of that mighty power of God shaking the whole body uncontrollably. Have you ever shaken, whether you're cold, whether you're scared, whether it's just you try to control it and can't? I want the power of God to come down so hard to let us know. Listen, church, everything else around us has failed us. You realize that? What we have put faith and for trust and confidence in years after years after years have let us down. And we say, "Lord, what are we going to do?" Maybe it's the Lord letting us know, you don't need to put your faith and trust in anything else except me. I will make a way. I am the Lord. I am God. I will make a way. Even when there's not a way, we're going to have to become a body. Believers. Man. Can't have the left arm telling the right arm you can't do that. Even though the right arm was able to do it, the left arm talked him out of you, and then I know I can't. So many times we enter into a prayer life like that. Lord, I know this, and this is what we desire, but I just can't really get faith to believe this is going to happen. We need the church. We need the whole body of believers to once again unite in prayer. It's happened before. Come on, it's happened before. We've seen a mighty move of God in Azusa Street in California. People that didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost, amen, were just praying and the Holy Ghost fell on them. Glory to God. Why? Because they were a body of believers in one mind and one heart, one accord, one heart and one soul. And God honors that. And when the church gets back to that, the church will begin to see growth, spiritual growth, miracles, deliverance, and all the things that God is able to do to a body of believers. Don't have the time to talk of Abraham and his great faith. He was a believer. Jacob, such a mighty believer. David, Daniel, many others. I believe if we were truthful, we would say that every one of them made a difference. You want to make a difference? Be a believer. Be a believer. Not just a hoper. Believer. When you pray, believe God's going to do it. What did Penny say? Pray till it happens? Man. That might be more than 5 minutes. Might take an all-night prayer vigil. May take the willingness. I told you about I bargained with the Lord and I was ready to pray all night long. Boy, that first 15 minutes was a long, long time. But you know what? When I finally made up my mind, God didn't ask me to pray all night long. He did it. He did it. Amen. He did it so that it even shocked me. Amen. I don't want to be shocked when God does. I just want to be thankful and know that God is able. Are you a believer? Are you really a true believer? Amen. Then you need to practice the same thing that the early church did. See a mighty move of God. See souls born again. If I got anybody in the house that wants to see souls born again. Come on, a body of believers not just satisfied with our four and no more. Come on. We want to get the word out. We want to love folks to Christ. You can't drive folks to Christ. You can't embarrass folks to Christ. And you sure can't shun them to Christ. But you can sure love them to Christ. Amen. You can love them to Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I love you from the depths of my heart. I just felt this week that we need to be a little more dedicated to our prayer life and believe what we're asking for. Amen. And not be so shocked when God does it. Just be thankful when He does it and expect it. Amen. If you love the Lord, give Him praise this morning. As you stand, could you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Eddie, I want to be a believer. I truly desire to live for Christ. But I just don't know if I can do it. Let me clear that up for you right now. You can't. There's not a one of us can do it in our own merits, in our own ability. That's the reason that the Bible talks about you must be born again. You must enter into that transformation where you relinquish your life, your soul, your heart to God. Jesus Christ comes in and fills you, amen, with His sweet, sweet Spirit. And He'll be with you each and every day. You'll have a constant abode. You'll have a friend that will never forsake you nor leave you. While every head is bowed, if you desire that relationship, and you've been a churchgoer, and you're a believer in the Word, but you just really never invited Jesus Christ to come into your life as Lord and Savior. Would you do that now? Would you come down this altar and give your life to Christ? I never, ever want to dismiss a service without giving you or someone an opportunity to make this day the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Is there one today? God bless this brother. Some of you elders, come. Let's pray. This altar is still open. Why don't you file down as the others come? Amen. If you have a need today, why don't you come and we'll pray for that need.
Controls the winds and waves. When he says peace be still, they have to obey. I know the peace speaker. Yes, I know him by
the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Well, you just call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. You just call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. You just call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line
Well, call him up. Call him up. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. He's never too busy. You won't get a busy signal when you call Jesus. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. I said that Jesus
the main line.
Oh, tell him what you want.
Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now.
Well, you just
call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want.
You just
call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Just call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now.
Well, if you believe it, give him praise in the house. Glory.
What we need when we need it.
That's right.
It's His time, His way. Praise God. So good to have y'all with us this morning. Those who are watching online, we just again welcome you. And if you have a prayer request, put it in the comment column because we love the Lord. It's all about Him. It's not about us. Amen. We just praise God. Oh, the Lord is just, thank the Lord. I don't know about y'all, but I'm looking forward to tonight's service too. I just so blessed, so blessed, so blessed. I know God's answering prayers right now. He's already healing.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. Well, with this prayer, we're going to take an intermission. Like I said, you're all invited back tonight. Love to have each and every one of you. Just really excited about what the Lord is doing, has done, will do, and is doing. I know that's not in order, but praise God. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, as you minister to each and every one of us, dear Lord, as you're healing, dear Lord, as you're saving, dear Lord, as you're filling with your Holy Spirit, Lord, we just praise your name, dear Lord. May we be that receptive vessel, dear Lord, for you to fill. Lord, may we not have our cup or our body empty, dear Lord. May it be filled with your presence. Lord, we love and praise you, Lord. We thank you for each and every one here, those watching online. Lord, again, we just invite everyone back this evening, but I know you'll keep us safe and bring us back at our appointed time. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.